Hey, everybody, welcome to MatMen, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by Rich, the freak in the streets, Stambolian.
Freak on the streets and everywhere. I can't be beat. What's going on?
You're, no.
You're my favorite today, Andrew.
In the streets.
In the streets. On the streets. In the streets. Underneath. I'm the freak underground. I'm the mole man that's haunting your life.
You know, Rich and I constantly talk about mole men. Like, that's like a thing we talk about. And we see a lot of mole men here in New York City. There's tons of them.
Dude, yesterday, let me tell you, I did my, usually Wednesday is my day for like errands, like my old man day. You know, like I go get my comics, I go to the post office, I go to the bank, I do all like the errands for the week, right? Return shit. I was haunted by mole men yesterday. And that's not like, you know, I'm not anti-mole men. Don't think I'm anti-mole men. But there was a lot of mole men yesterday, just out and about, like scratching their bare asses on the street. It was really weird.
Anti-mole type. Like, that's what they used to call you in high school. Oh, there goes the anti-mole type.
I'm like, guys, I would have voted for the mole man three times if I could.
What's going on, guys? This show is all about professional wrestling. We like to have a little fun here. Also sprinkle some news, some rumors, and everything else that comes in between. Somebody sent me a message. They're like, this is the most unconventional pro wrestling podcast about news that I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, yeah, man, that's our goal.
That's the day one. That was like, we've always done that. We've kind of maintained the same thing, except now I think we're just like a little bit better at it, I hope.
You know, somebody brought up that this is Under Armour. I didn't even realize. This is like a work thing I'm wearing. Do you know how expensive these stupid Armour shirts are?
Under Armour?
Yeah.
And plus that's branded, right?
This is branded, yeah. So I want you to guess how much this stupid thing is.
I'm saying like, I don't know, like $120. You look like a personal trainer.
Bingo. There you go. $120.
There you go. Huh. Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
People like it though. They want to see you in Under Armour.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I'm into it.
I want you dressed like an undercover cop.
I wear the Yankees baseball cap backwards and I just walk around the city. Everybody thinks I'm an undercover cop.
Is that why I saw you driving around the neighborhood in a gray Crown Vic the other day?
Don't blow my cover, dude. A lot going on in pro wrestling. Let's begin with the news. Rich, you want to take this?
Yes. So where do you want to begin exactly? I know the first thing that we have on the docket is the Mustafa Ali stuff. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, let's go into it.
So apparently Mustafa Ali requested very publicly his release from WWE this week. And apparently it also stems from some kind of argument with Vince McMahon. What do you make of this, Andrew?
Yeah, so apparently they had a big disagreement. He's been unhappy for a while. There's been so many stop and goes with him. Remember they were going to do the hacker thing? And they just stopped it midway. They made him part of Retribution, which I thought was so bizarre because he's such a likable babyface.
For real, yeah.
Like, I don't know if he wanted to play heel or, like, he was good. He was great as a heel. Like, it was no problem, but I feel like he was such a likable guy, and he is, from what everybody says. He's a very likable guy. But apparently, they wanted to revamp his character. He did not want to go forward with it. I don't know what that character was. I've heard a bunch of rumors and stuff. I don't want to assume anything. But he's not officially released, but he wants to be gone. So, listen, man, this guy, he was a cop. He became a pro wrestler because that was his passion. That was his first love or whatever, you know, whatever you want to rank it in his life. The dude came out of nowhere for a lot of people in WWE. Is a fantastic wrestler. I think there's a lot of opportunity with a guy like Mustafa Ali. And I just feel like, you know, he got lost in the shuffle for them.
Yeah, man. He always had an upside. Wasn't the story that he started filming his own promos and it caught the attention of The Office and they were like, well, we're kind of sitting on this guy. And they tried to give him stuff. I think he was always a team player. And you know what? I think there's that ceiling that you try to bust through. And it's unfortunate for guys like this who seem like they're really passionate and really into being a wrestler who maybe are pitching ideas, and nothing is getting through. That's got to be frustrating. I'm going to throw up a comment from the audience on the screen there because I think it's very hilarious.
By the way, you just effed me up with your statement in the chat room. Who's pressing these buttons, first of all? Who's pressing these buttons?
I threw that in there.
Oh, you did? Okay. I didn't even see it. Yeah, there you go. That's the one.
That's the one.
And you responded with, you wouldn't even have to bribe him.
I'm trying to be all over the place.
So, you know, I'll tell you one thing, though, that I've heard, and this is interesting. You know, for the longest time, you heard that the wrestlers, the guys, the girls, whatever. Actually, I heard way more that the female wrestlers were way more vocal with things that they did not like creative handing them.
Oh, interesting.
I had a writer, a former writer, reach out to me a while ago. The one, by the way, the one that told me about the Mandalorian story about Sasha Banks. Remember that?
Oh, fantastic.
He reached out to me, and he put me in touch with somebody else that left there. And they mm-hmm. said that, and they didn't mean this in a good way. I just want to tell you the way okay. that they put it. And I'm not saying that they had mentioned that it's very difficult to write for the women because they have a lot of creative input that they want to put in. And they didn't understand why so many, like, they complain so much about the creative because they're handed stupid stuff. That's why they complain. But now, even with the men now, they're feeling that. And I had the same complaint recently come from from a writer saying that they're being met with not so much positivity when they're given creative the talent. So this has now become an issue for men, women, doesn't matter anymore. Do you remember that when we spoke about that? And they named some names that they considered to be difficult with their character. Every one of them, by the way, every one of those names that was given to me is a top star in that company. So, what does that say?
It's a perception thing, right? We always talk about perception. Now, does the company consider really anybody else besides Roman and Brock top stars? Like, top stars that they can't, like, work around? You know what I mean? Like, a guy like Roman and a guy like Brock, they'll never get rid of, right?
No.
Is there anybody under that where they're like, oh, we can't lose him? He's a top guy.
Yeah, tons. They have tons now. They're okay. very much in the, like, if you're in that top, let's say 10, you have a lot of input. You have a lot of creative that you could turn down. And we're seeing this more from talent up and down that, you know, when they're handed something they don't like, they're more willing mm-hmm. to express it now compared to 5 years ago. Because guess what? There's options, right?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of options. But, you know, now it's interesting where it's like, I get the feeling that there's not going to be resistance from the higher-ups when these guys are unhappy and want to leave. You know? I hope they grant Mustafa Ali his release. That would be cool. I'd like to see him somewhere else and, like, doing some cool shit.
I don't know. I'm very curious what they do with him. I mean, you know, they also don't want to set a precedence that anybody could get released from their contracts whenever they want to. You know, that's part of the other thing where the company doesn't want to put it out there that you're able to go and complain and get released when you want to get released. It doesn't really work like that for any company. You really don't want that to happen. You know, they are, it's a very interesting company. They run a very interesting company and it's constantly in a state of change. We've seen it over the last, you know, 3 years. All the changes that's come to this company, the way that they deal with talent, the way that they were hoarding talent and now releasing talent. So I'm curious to see what they do with Ali. I'm willing to bet this is not going to be the only one that requests a release publicly. We've saw this happen before, and we're going to continue seeing it from people that think they have better opportunities somewhere else.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, you know, like, I wish the guy the best.
Or what else do we have?
Moving on. All right. So this is kind of interesting, and you can attest to this. WWE says AEW's gory self-mutilation is a different business than theirs. And what do you make of this?
They are in a different business. You know, even though optics, they look similar, they operate very differently. They have very different fundamental mission statements to what they think pro wrestling should be or sports entertainment should be. On We're Live Pal, I kind of went into detail on this. I posted it this morning on my Twitter. If you go to my Twitter, at Andrew Zarian, I kind of went into detail on what they meant by that gory self-mutilation post that they had, the quote that the Toronto Star put out. So essentially, and I don't want to go into like a 10-minute conversation about this because I've already done it and it's available. Pretty much, this statement had nothing to do with you, myself, the viewers, anybody reading that. That's an AEW fan or WWE fan to look at that and to be like, well, you know what? This is talking to me. It had nothing to do with the fans. It had everything to do with ad sales.
Right.
This is
a
big tack. I mean, 27 years ago, Vince did the same exact thing. He sent that letter to Ted Turner, called it self-mutilation, which is on my Twitter timeline also. But pretty much what's happening here is there were a couple things that stood out to me. One, they really singled out the women's match on Rampage.
Yes.
The reason why they singled that one out is because, and this is, by the way, this is not my opinion. This is the opinion of someone at Warner Media. Okay.
Right. Right.
That's pretty in the know of things. And I think a lot of us could draw the same conclusion also, if you kind of follow this. But AEW has had the last 2 weeks, we'll see with this week, with the ratings, has seen an increase over 12 to 48 women demo, right? That demo, essentially the entire women's audience.
Interesting.
They've seen an increase because of the fact that Big Bang Theory has really high ratings. They have anywhere from 1.1 to 1.6 million people that watch, depending on the week, depending on the season, and they have a very strong female viewership. That is a key. Who deleted the notes?
Oh, no.
Someone just deleted. What is he doing? I have no notes here, dude.
Oh, boy.
MG.
Look at that.
Guys,
can we just, you know,
I have no notes.
Let's take a minute here and
hold on. Can I? I'm gonna yell at him. Where is he? I'm gonna pot him up.
He's got to be.
Where the hell
did
he go? Where the hell did he go?
Hold on.
He
left. I'm trying to do something.
Where are my notes?
He left.
What is happening here?
Can we just take
you
a
and Jonathan are breaking the notes? I have no guidance now. I'm gonna. You want me to like really lose it and be like, oh, Andrew lost it on the air. So, what did you do though? Why is it so hard to hit Command V and reverse this, or Command Q and reverse this?
You know what? This is a great opportunity to talk about what a farty fucking show Big Bang Theory is.
Oh my! You hate that show, huh?
I can't stand it.
All right, so I have to find an older version of the notes.
Oh, so we could do that.
Yeah, you could go to I went to January 20th at 8:14 now. So I could go, you could go back on the older version.
MG spilt all his scissor and fentanyl on the keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you gotta lean. He's taking too much lean in the morning. He's still dying. He still can't figure out how to fix the notes.
So anyway, Andrew, you were saying this is an ad thing. It has nothing to do with perception
thing.
Of wrestling. It's definitely an ad thing.
Yeah, and I brought up a great example, right? Like, talk about the layman, right? Like, you work at Procter & Gamble, right?
Sure.
Major conglomerate, multiple products, multiple companies. You're taking out a big ad piece, and you see that, you know, you're like, oh, maybe wrestling fits what I'm trying to do. Oh, look, it's a female demo. They're doing great. Let's put this ad on. And someone explains to you that, you know, when they bleed, it's not fake blood. They're taking razor blades and cutting themselves in front of a live audience on TV to get that reaction. There is no other presented program on the planet that has that. You know what I mean? So how do you, as someone that's not really, you know nothing about wrestling, you're going to be like, they do what?
Yeah.
These
but
men
you
are doing what? These women are doing what?
You have to admit, though, if you were watching baseball and that shit happened, that would be fucking awesome.
I mean, I would love it if it had happened. I want the managers to start doing it.
Just when it's in overtime, like extra innings, like you'll see like a manager in a dugout just bleeding themselves.
Yeah, just bleeding, just aggressively. I have to tell you. I you know, they were pretty upset over this. They were annoyed. But what they were more annoyed with was the Sportico piece that took a hit on the NHL. That really annoyed them, that they were saying that AEW is a crappy lead. And listen, man, this is how sales goes. This is how the TV business is. This is nothing new. This is nothing new out of the WWE playbook or any other company that's done stuff like this. But with that said, I think people, when they read this, they thought it was a I don't know what they thought, to be honest. I don't think most people thought this was an ad hit, which 100% it was.
Yeah, this is
WWE saying, like, listen, man, you want to be on alternative programming. You want to be on, you know, pro wrestling. Come to us. We're the good ones here. We protect you guys. Look at what we do. Right. Look at our presentation and look at what these guys do. We're not in the same business.
Exactly. And that's the smartest way to look at it, because that's the truth of the matter. You know, like, if you're an uptight ad exec and you're trying to put this money into wrestling, you're going to go with WWE as far as, like, well, you know what? This is very bright. It's very kid friendly, and they're not bleeding all over the place.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're going to see a lot of this, and we'll see what happens. But if you want the full breakdown of it, head on over to my Twitter and you'll see it on there.
What's your Twitter handle?
At Andrew Zarian.
There you go. All right. Let's see here. Why are the notes green now? This is great. WWE officially announces Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia for February 19th.
Yeah. So what are they going to call it? What? WWE WrestleMania Chamber?
I think they're going to call it something like the box or something.
In the box.
In the box.
Yeah, February 19th, they announced it. We kind of broke the story a couple weeks ago that they're going back to Saudi Arabia. They're doing a Saturday pay-per-view, which is a first for that show. They're treating this as a pay-per-view. Who highlighted this now? Is that you, Rich?
No, not at all, man. I think
Jonathan.
I think it's
Jonathan. I think he's having like a stroke with the notes.
Guys, just because we're having fun doesn't mean you can have fun.
Please don't have any fun. Please.
Please don't have any fun. Yeah.
So we'll see what that show. I know that they're stacking it. They want to consider these shows. They were very happy with the last show that they had in Saudi Arabia. Especially that brilliant Bill Goldberg match. That was a 4-star Bill Goldberg match. I thought it was fantastic. All right.
Yeah, that was a great match. We've talked about that Bill Goldberg match like every week since it happened too. I mean, like, go back and watch that match. It is the best match of Bill Goldberg's career.
It was fantastic. It's fantastic.
I almost said Gil Boldberg.
Gil Boldberg. Scotty Tuhati says NXT trainers were told to look younger by Vince. This is funny, huh?
That's great.
Oh my God. Oh. Again, dude, he deleted the notes again. You guys have to stop touching the notes.
Yeah, for real.
I'm like, I can't do a show like this.
Oh, Lordy. Can we undo this?
I don't know what he did.
Dude. All right. Anyway, all right. Sky Tuhati was told to look younger by Vince, basically, like how all the NXT trainers are supposed to look young.
Yeah. So I can't with this. Guys, I'm going to take a pause here. All right. We're going to take a pause, and you guys are not going to touch the notes anymore.
Andrew, why don't you take that pause and remind everybody where they could find us and what they could do to support the show?
Jesus Christ. How about you do it while I yell?
All right, guys. Seriously, while Andrew goes and yells at our production staff, you can support us by checking out patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. You can fund us a little bit by super chatting us during the show, and we will get to your questions later on. If you super chat us, we will address those questions first, like we've been doing every week. And then, you know, we'll kind of go into it, have a little free-for-all at the end. And that's pretty much it. You can follow Andrew Zarian at Andrew Zarian on Twitter. You can follow me at BTC Rich. I don't know if you want to follow our producers, because these guys are really bungling it up today. All right, Andrew.
Yeah. Are you back? Okay, thank God. Monday Night Raw will be on Sci-Fi February 7th and 14th due to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Moving them standard stuff. You know, this happens. Olympics take precedence, obviously, over wrestling, and they're moving them to Sci-Fi. I saw people suggesting, I made a joke, and I put I put Vince McMahon with the ECW title and the do-rag, and I was like, please do it, you know?
Please do it.
And then people took that as they're bringing ECW back. Guys, they're not going to bring ECW back on Sci-Fi. All right?
Matt Cardona is bringing ECW back.
Matt Cardona apparently has brought ECW back. Matt Cardona is the ECW television champion again that he defeated Rhino for in GCW.
Pretty fantastic.
How fantastic is that?
Looks like also Monday Night Raw will be on Sci-Fi February 7th and 14th because of the Olympics.
That's what we did.
We did that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's go into the next one. I'm sorry. This whole notes thing has me a little frazzled as well.
He ruined the whole show.
Oh my God. Do you think yesterday he was like in their secret chat, their producer chat? He was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fuck it up for these guys tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know, like half of the notes are gone now. It's just like one page.
And a weird self-portrait.
This is what I'm doing. I'm going back to the last set of notes. Okay, here we go. So okay. Nobody touches it. Here we go. I'm on 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'm looking at it. Let's go.
All right. So let's talk about the Cody story, huh?
Yes, please.
So story broke out early in the week that Sean Ross Sapp, great job by him on Monday, put out a story for Fightful that Cody had reportedly had not signed his contract and he was a free agent. And this turned into the speculation of Cody entering the Rumble, the Forbidden Door stuff, who from AEW is going to go. And I think it's pretty much like nobody from AEW is going there. The Moxley's not going there. Cody's not going there. Jericho's not going there. You know, this is that Forbidden Door stuff kind of blew up online with nobody else saying anything other than, you know, the Mickey James thing. You know, they needed female talent and she's great. And they thought they could do something unique with Impact here. And they did. But
this also makes nice for the whole Mickey James debacle.
The garbage bag debacle? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of does. And it kind of shows like, okay, everybody's cool. Everybody's fine with this. So I would not expect AEW guys in this thing, especially Cody. We'll talk about Cody and that bizarre promo he had on Monday last night.
I love that promo.
Okay. It was like three different promos in one. And I felt he just needed to get it out. I think he just needed to express himself.
He's very... Like, do you want to just talk about the Cody promo now? Because we're talking about Cody being in the Rumble.
Yeah. Let's do that.
So I think, you know, last week we mentioned on the show, what could the surprises be? Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes, right? When Cody began his promo last night, the fans were chanting Royal Rumble, Royal Rumble, right? Very interesting. I think that's kind of a cool thing. Is he going to show up? Who knows? But you were saying that Cody's promo was all over the place. I think he's trying some experimental stuff that relies heavily on the connective tissue of what he's saying.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, no, I get it. It was, you know, like he started off, he came in the ring, he was doing like weird facials and everybody was moving a lot last night.
Yeah. Showed up like Dracula from the smoke. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah. He was Dracula. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that because I want to take some time with that. SmackDown, Roman is now the longest reigning Universal Champion, 504 days or 505 days now, whatever it is. Face-to-face with Rollins. Line of the night was, if you wanted to face a megastar from Raw, I would have picked your wife. Great line.
Great line. I initially thought when I saw this, because I was kind of moving around, I initially heard him say, if I wanted to face a megastar, I would have picked The Rock.
Is that what you thought he was saying?
That's what I thought he said. I was like kind of in another room and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I never followed up with it.
Well, that's not what he said.
I know.
Lita returned.
Cool.
Set up a thing with Charlotte. They're both in the Rumble. Why is Charlotte in the Rumble as the champion?
Why not, man? Who cares?
Why not? Yeah, they did it with Brock, didn't they?
Yeah,
so Charlotte's in the Rumble. They had a face-to-face. They had a thing going on. They brought up Trish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if she's going to show up. Viking Raiders earned a title shot against the Usos. Sami Zayn tries to do a jackass stunt. And Boogs is now dressed up like a 1920s strongman. Right?
Whatever, man. I know you don't like the jackass stuff, but I really am looking forward to seeing Johnny Knoxville in the Rumble.
I know a lot of people are, and I never liked Jackass. Never my thing.
Fascinating. Can we sit down and watch like some Jackass stuff together?
No, it makes me very uncomfortable. Like Larry David. Larry David makes me uncomfortable too, and I love that show.
Oh man, I don't want to make you have a panic attack by watching Jackass.
Raw highlights: Riddle, Orton crash Alpha Academy graduation ceremony. Maryse hits Beth Phoenix with a brick in her purse. During their face-to-face, Kevin Owens defeated United States champion Damian Priest. Bobby Lashley with MVP defeated Seth Rollins via DQ, 13 minutes hurt business, and Usos interfered. You want to go into NXT?
Yes, sir. All right. So I'd love to go into NXT. What did you think of NXT, Andrew?
It was okay. It was fine. Nothing. Do you not have it in front of you?
No, notes? I don't. Guess what? Yeah. It's not there. It was okay. It was kind of like It was an all right show. They're really, really leaning into the 2.0 stuff. You know, it's almost at the point of like, listen, we don't care. Here are a bunch of new guys. And here are some of the older roster. Do what you got to do. I do like Santos Escobar challenging Bron Breakker, though. What do you think of that?
Santos Escobar. Yeah, that's cool. I'm into that.
There we go. So you had the Creed brothers with Malcolm Bivens defeating Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. You had Malik Blade and Edris Enofe defeat Yagata De Fantasma, and with Bron Breakker causing the distraction. I like the use of Malcolm Bivens all over the NXT show.
He was an Evolve guy. He was great in Evolve. But you know, think about how long they've had him there that they haven't used him on TV.
Yeah, now it's like he's kind of coming into his own, and I'm really enjoying that. He's a good mouthpiece. You had Ivy Nile with Malcolm Bivens again, beating Kaylee Ray. Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction attack Kaylee Ray. And this is where it gets interesting, right?
Okay, here we go.
Walter defeats Roderick Strong with Malcolm Bivens again, the star of NXT as far as I'm concerned.
Malcolm Bivens.
Yes.
Malcolm Bivens is the star, yeah.
So Walter wins. After the match, he takes the mic and he announces that the winner is Gunther.
And he picks up, and then Walter picks up the mic and says something like, "I am Gunther," and throws the mic down and starts attacking. And Imperium shows up.
This falls into the category of, I looked at my Twitter timeline and immediately shut it off, and I was like, "Oh, who fucking cares?" You know, like mother effers went nuts for this. What did you go nuts?
I saw what was happening. Yeah, I was watching it and I was on delay. So I was like maybe like 15 minutes behind. And I saw my timeline blow up. I was like, oh no. So I fast forward to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And I realized that they changed his name to Gunther. And now everybody. So the story was that initially WWE trademarked the name Gunther Stark. Starks, right? That's the name, Gunther Starks. And that was the name of a World War II U-boat captain.
Oh, boy.
For the Nazis. And I don't think they purposely knew that was actually... I think it was a bizarre coincidence. I'll tell you that.
It was Gunther Stark, yeah.
Gunther Stark. I think that was a bizarre coincidence. Maybe someone had heard the name before and didn't realize. Like, there is no way... With the way that this company is, that they said, you know what? We need a Nazi name.
You know what? I don't know about that. Listen, everybody's got 7 computers on them at all times at this point, right? You got your wearables, you got your shit in your pocket, you got 2 phones, an Apple Watch, an iPad, and 7 laptops. Everybody has this, right? It's 2022.
It was better than the other name that they had, which you got the leaks for, right?
I did get the leaks for that, but I'm going to go with that. They should have just called him Uter from The Simpsons.
Yeah, not Gary Gestapo.
No, not Gary Gestapo. weird. It's just weird. And like,
very weird.
I don't know, man. Like, why give, and like, that's the other thing too. Why give this guy a last name? I'm not saying they knew what they were doing, but I'm saying like, come on now. You know, I mean, like
you could have Googled it very easily. You could have Googled
everybody's
it.
Got be the, like, kids got the internet. Your kids have the internet, right?
My kids are very disconnected. My kids don't do any internet. Nothing.
No, they don't watch the unboxing videos?
No. I'm really... No, they don't. I'm very tight with that stuff.
Okay.
All they can watch is 90s TGIF sitcoms.
Like Step by Step?
Step by Step. Urkel. They just constantly watch Urkel and Full House.
You know what? Andrew's right. Because the last time I went over, it was a ton of Urkel references and how chubby Carl Winslow is. And they kept calling you big guy for some reason. It was weird.
So what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think, you know, the idea of changing his name is that, first of all, he owns his name and he was not willing to give up his trademark to WWE. Mm-hmm. So either they could have worked with him or they like, okay, let's come up with another name. But for 3 years, this guy has been marketed as Walter. Yeah, the mainstream WWE audience really is not familiar with him. Most people watching at home are not really familiar with him because they don't watch NXT UK. Maybe they've seen bits and pieces. Yeah. So They saw it as, well, we could take this opportunity to change his name now. Just, you have all these names to pick, you know? Tons of names.
They could have picked any awesome German-sounding name, and they landed on Gunther Stark, Nazi U-boat commander.
No, Stark. No Stark.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know.
They also dropped the trademark for that full name. They're not going forward with it.
Do you think this would have been a cool opportunity for WWE not to name him another name, but to name him after an object?
Sure. What would you name him?
Like Icebox.
I mean, they could have... Icebox?
Yeah.
You do what WCW did. Wall.
There you go. Like, you know, like, you, if you have The Rock...
I like Icebox. Icebox
would have been great, right?
Yeah,
he
great
looks
name.
Like, he's big, looks like an icebox.
Yeah.
And he can say shit like, "Ice to meet you."
Ice to meet you. Yeah, that's fantastic. Nice Mr. Freeze reference. AEW Dynamite last night. Jon Moxley kicked off the show with his return. He looked fantastic, slimmed down a lot. I did big, bulky Mox, you know?
Yeah, you were all about him. You were
he was so beefy.
Big boy. He was very beefy.
Yeah, he was big and beefy. Now he's nice and svelte, slimmed down. He looked great. So he comes in a ring. Crowd goes crazy. They were in D.C. I believe it was a sellout. When they announced that Moxley was on the card, they sold a bunch of tickets. Russell Tix, you could check him out. So he comes out, and a heckler in the crowd said something like, I'm gonna something, get that drunk piece of S out of the ring or something like that.
Yeah, get that drunk out of the ring or something.
Get that drunk out of the ring.
Like
first
that,
of all,
yeah.
what a effed up thing to say. Second, he told the guy to go F himself and to kick him out of the building, which I'm sure they did.
I hope they kicked that guy out.
They kicked that guy out of the building. And he went on to this promo about, you know, like, you know, he's back and he's a different, you know, he did his spiritual stuff and the calling and he went to hell and nobody, you don't want to go to hell, but he's back and he has a taste for blood now and he does this crazy promo and he walks out. What did you think?
Great, great promo. Like really, really hovering around the topic of addiction. And the fact that he ended that promo with "the only thing I drink now is blood," fantastic. You know, and he looks great. Yo, he looks like he's 15 years younger.
Yeah, man. He the age is off him for sure. Listen, man, he well rested. He got his stuff in order. Good for him.
Yeah, he can be a dad and a wrestler now.
Yeah, I'm curious. Where do you think he goes now? What do you think he does?
Well, we got Ethan Page as his comeback match on Rampage, right?
Which I'm excited for.
Same here. I think they work very well together. I don't know, man. Do you see World Title Hunt? Do you see a little feud with Bryan Danielson? You know, like, the sky's the limit, really. Like, now you have, like, the guy's been gone for almost 3 months, and now you have, like, this oddball, like, apart from Kenny not being there, it's like this oddball dream roster, right?
Well, second week in a row, Danielson was not there.
Yeah, so, but I don't know.
But you know what? Like, think about that main picture, right? That main title picture now. Let's say 6 to 8 months, you got Danielson already in that top tier. You got Danielson, you got Punk, you got Hangman, you got Mox, and you have Omega. I mean, that's your top six of really top tier talent that could main event any of these pay per views for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm.
And then you also have, like, your secondary up-and-coming guys, like Lance Archer.
Yeah, you know, so I want to find out what you thought of that when we get to that, because that was a very, they could have done a lot with this.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Mox did an awesome promo, good welcome back promo. You had Adam Cole and Britt Baker beating Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. I thought that was fun. I like the end of the match, personally.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. I think they're going to be a team. They're going to be teaming up a little bit more. Adam Cole and Britt Baker.
This is a good feud for Adam Cole too, and I think Britt Baker also. Like, it's very entertaining.
Yeah,
I think he said there's going to be like a no holds barred lights out match next week. Also, CM Punk beat Shawn Spears in less than 10 seconds with a GTS. Not the way I thought it was going to go, but very cool. Makes up for that, like, weird Wardlow thing that happened last week. So now Punk is kind of on his toes. Like, he's ready for anything, you know, as evident by MJF trying to sneak up on him.
Yeah, and so MJF comes behind him. He tries to jump Punk. Punk kind of trapped them to get into the ring. This is setting up their match in Chicago in a few weeks. This is what it's for.
Yes.
The Chicago sales, by the way, have been kind of slow. I think this will kind of put it over the edge, and I think they're in a Wintrust Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how big that is. Wintrust Arena. It's a couple. It's not a super big building. I think capacity is 10,000. They had it for, you know, I think they could do a good job with this.
Absolutely.
I think this is enough for Chicago to make it into a big match and to kind of sell a lot of seats in that building. We'll see what happens, how many seats they open up. That's a big match, and I think people have been waiting to see that. Maybe it doesn't get fulfilled. Maybe something happens, and then it becomes a pay-per-view match. We'll see.
Interesting.
Do you think this match should be on pay-per-view or TV?
I think that should be a pay-per-view match, to be honest with you. You know, but I do think that, like, let me ask you, from a numbers perspective, whenever that map comes up of towns they're hitting, do you think they're just like, yo, Chicago's a layup? Like, we're going to sell whatever building we do, we're going to sell out.
I think I don't. Let me find out what the numbers are in Chicago, to be honest. I'll tell you right now. Give me a couple minutes. I'll get back to it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another pause.
No more pauses. Go into.
Up next, you had the Cody Rhodes promo, which was very divisive online. I personally really enjoyed it. I think, like I said before, he's got this connective tissue through his promos. I think the guy's, from my perspective, I think the guy's been trying something very experimental with the way he addresses the crowd, the character, and the company. You know, it's kind of something that's really never been done before. Really cool that he brought up the CM Punk pipe bomb, but also saying, like, hey, by the way, guess what? All the shit that this guy mentioned, I actually did. I built the forbidden door. Very cool. Andrew.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this this whole Cody Rhodes promo, getting booed, getting cheered, people yelling Royal Rumble at him? Him, you said he was all over the place.
Yeah, it was a very bizarre promo. So he came out and he said something. He started off with, I've had this promo, like I've had this promo for a while, and I was told to hold on to it, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Right? That's how he started it off. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. So he kind of went into. He went into CM Punk, which was interesting to bring up out of nowhere because they're not in a program or anything. So maybe they're setting something up. He essentially said, like you said, he was the guy. He was a forbidden door. He was the one that did everything that CM Punk said he was going to do. It came off like a heel promo. Like, this guy is not the one. It's me. I did all of this. I created AEW. I teamed up with the Bucks. All the things I seen. I went to New Japan. I went to Ring of Honor. Not him. He didn't do any of that.
Right. While maintaining the dialogue and narrative of this is why I'll never turn heel, like addressing it in that kind of meta way. Right. Let me tell you why I won't turn heel. It's because of X, Y, and Z. And I've been carrying the flag of what did he say? Like anti-corporate wrestling on my back for years.
Yeah. Something like that.
Which is very funny in and of itself. You know, because that's the goal, right? This guy's on TBS. This guy's doing multiple shit for the Turner stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Very interesting. I don't know, but here was the problem that I had. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the message.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was a bad promo. I just, if there was an overall message at the end, I didn't get it. And I'm willing to bet it was by design. You know, it's maybe he was doing like a weird face thing also. Did you notice that? He's going like this.
I made a note of it. Okay. So I made a note of that. And my note is purely fantasy booking where, again, in my head, maybe this is another layer of the promo. Maybe I'm reading into it too much, but it's like, maybe he can't contain all these weird emotions and he's going to snap and kind of turn into a Stardust or a Stardust like character where he's just this cackling lunatic.
Yeah, but he hated that character, right? Didn't he say that?
I think he did, but who knows at this point? I don't even remember what the guy said about that character. I always liked the Stardust character. I think you did too, right?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was bonkers, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was, the first time I saw it, I was like, what the hell's going on? I thought it was crazy. I don't know. I kind of liked it. I kind of didn't. I don't know.
I think also, again, from my perspective and as a fan's perspective, I do think one of the underlying messages of that promo was, hey, by the way, don't forget who I am. I've done all sorts of crazy shit in my career, and I'm not done yet. You know, if you think about it, that dashing Cody Rhodes thing was great with the face mask, right? The mustache Cody, bringing back the IC belt, doing the Stardust stuff, doing all the stuff that he said he did. I think that was maybe, hey, you should cheer for me because I do a lot of shit. Maybe that was the message.
You know, he did. I find it amazing because remember when he left WWE, he was doing the independents, and I think that was a quote by him. I believe this is if my my memory could be false here, but didn't he say something like, "Hey, I'm going to do some wrestling, but my main goal is to act. Like, I'm not going to do this for like a couple more years. I'm going to eventually." Like he was looking to become an actor, but I think going to the independents really revitalized him. Like we saw him at Evolve SummerSlam weekend. I think it was SummerSlam 2016 in that Brooklyn gym for Evolve where he wrestled. Oh, yeah. He wrestled Chris Hero.
That's awesome.
It was fantastic. Like it was a total brawl, and I think for Cody, a lot of people are like, well, he's a WWE guy, he's a WWE system guy. How much is he going to do in the independents? But you know, he adapted. He adapted for Ring of Honor. He adapted for New Japan. He gets a lot of unnecessary hate. And I think, honestly, dude, the guy's a charming guy. He's a handsome guy. He dresses great. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on the top of the world, and people don't like him.
It's interesting how fans turn on you sometimes, right?
So fast.
So fast. Just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. So, up next, you had the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King, beating the Varsity Blondes, Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman. Fun match. I like this weirdo feud that they're having.
Yeah, I thought they would do something more with it, but it was just they just beat them and that was it. Then we got a promo from a blind creepy Pac. He showed up on screen and he threatened them and he took his bandage off and pretty much said, "I'm coming for you."
Mm-hmm. Which I'm cool with. I want to see that. I feel like that's going to be like a barn burner, like 5-6 star match.
Yeah.
Between Pac and Malakai. Lance Archer came out, defeated Frankie Kazarian. Fun moment. It was good. It's always good seeing Frankie Kazarian on TV. So after the match, Hangman came out to save Kazarian from basically like a powerbomb on the ramp.
But wait, right? You skipped over something.
What did I skip over?
Dan Lambert is now his manager.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Dan
and Jake
Lambert
Roberts
is now.
Also. Jake Roberts also came out.
So this guy's got two managers now.
I don't know. I think maybe they're handing him off to Dan Lambert. You know,
is this the narrative for Lance Archer? Where, and this is going to sound silly and funny, but is he so much of a man, the character of Lance Archer, that he needs two handlers?
He needs two handlers. Yeah, he's so crazy.
So that was fun. Hangman comes out, slaps the shit out at Lance Archer. Really, like, really good exchange between the two of them. I think they're going to have a believable world title match, which Hangman's going to win.
Yeah, I hope they do something fun with this. I'd love to see Lance Archer in a higher position. I think it maybe is too soon. Like, he was off TV, and then he came back, and this is what he's going into. Listen, they need a feud for him. I think that's fine. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Do you think Lance Archer needs two more managers?
Four total.
Do you think he needs
Arn Anderson and Andrade should also manage him?
They add just two more guys to handle this one dude. What else do we have here? Serena Deeb beat Sky Blue with the Serenity Lock. That was a quick, fun match. Matt Hardy sells Andrade 49%.
51.
Hardy sold Andrade 49%. Matt Hardy is the controlling interest.
I heard. I remember the opposite, that he sold Andrade 51%, and this is going to be how Hardy gets kicked out, and Jeff kind of comes in. This is my assumption.
I'm not going by the notes. I think this is the Gonzo screw up on this one. It's not something misspelled.
No. I'm almost certain it's 51%. I don't think Gonzo screwed up, but I could be wrong too. We could both be wrong.
I'm going to say Hardy sold 49% to Andrade.
It was 51. Chat room says 51. Yeah,
oh,
Andrade has 51.
Oh, I was wrong. I apologize. No, Matt Hardy sold. Oh, my God. All right.
Andrade has 51%.
I apologize to Mr. Gonzo. Publicly. I'd like to say I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize to him. He already screwed up.
You know what? I take it back. So now the group is going to be known as the AHFO. And you know what? Let me tell you something, Andrew. When is this nonsense going to be over?
I know. I'm not crazy. I do like how Andrade keeps calling Darby Allin the little boy, Sting's little boy.
That's very funny, yes.
I think that's really funny coming from him, like the way he says it. I think eventually what'll happen is they'll kick him out, right? Like Private Party maybe turns on him. And here comes Brother Jeff to save Matt. And now you have the Hardy Boys in AEW, and they do one last run. You know, they have the match with the Bucks on TV, which we haven't seen on, you know, national television. You could do, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Do you
bring
think,
in Road Dogg? Why not bring in Road Dogg? Listen,
you can do all that stuff.
Bring Road Dogg and team him up with Billy and do something with that. And you have like a one last tour of matches, which I would love to see.
The Ass Boys.
Yeah.
Who also beat up Christian last night.
The Ass Boys did beat up Christian last night. I'm always astonished at the size of Billy Gunn.
Huge.
He's a big dude, man. And you never, I mean, even in the Attitude Era, like, think about how big everybody was then.
Yeah.
Like, Christian's not a little guy.
No, not at all.
Okay? And he was towering over him.
Big dude. And he's in his early 60s.
Christian's 6'1". Okay, maybe he would choose 6'2", whatever. Yeah, I think he's 58, 59.
58, 59. Yeah. Big, big, big dude. Very interesting. I do like how Christian said, like, hey, you were the guy who always choked and never had that signature moment.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very good.
Do you think Matt Hardy's going to get clunked on the head and turn into, like, another Matt Hardy again?
I hope so. I love that bop on the head that makes you into different gimmicks. And it's something that's not used often in wrestling. That was my storyline for Lana. I always thought that that's how they should have had Lana drop the accent, where when she was doing the thing with Dolph Ziggler, I think what should have happened is she falls off the apron, hits her head, and she gets noggin knocked.
Yes.
And all of a sudden she thinks she's like this all-American girl from North Carolina. And then when you hit her over the head again, she becomes, you know, the ravishing Russian Lana. And you could just have them like both in love with her. And every time they see her, they just hit her on the head with something. And they, you know, she goes into character.
Like sitcom style.
Do
you think the out for this Matt Hardy, Money Matt Hardy thing is Jeff showing up as Nero, as Brother Nero, and then bringing out broken Matt Hardy, and then they both get clunked on the head and just become like these guys again, like the Hardy Boys?
Listen, man, clunk everybody in the head. I want Sami Zayn clunked in the head. He becomes El Generico. I want, you know, everybody just hit on the head and they become their wacky gimmicks. I'm okay with this.
And your main event for last night was Darby Allin and Sting beating the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed, fantastic. These guys have become a favorite of mine in the tag division.
Fantastic.
And I did love that one moment where Anthony Bowens grabs Darby Allin and says, "Welcome to the Black Parade, bitch," and threw him into the ring post.
Yeah. I think the Acclaimed is fantastic. I thought the opening rap that they did.
Oh, fantastic.
The Cassidy,
yeah, really
was
good.
Fantastic. Really good. He referenced politics because they were in D.C. He spoke about Starrcade 97. He brought up the self-mutilation. Very good stuff. I like that they're presenting these two, Max Kessler and Anthony Bowens, in a prime position. Sting did a big splash off the ramp.
Oh, it was rad.
You want me to do it? You want to see how we did it?
I want to see this.
There you go. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. I worked on it all morning.
Do you think you can do a splash?
I have to tell you something. You want to know how sick I am? I could do everything. I could do everything? All of it. I could do all of it.
But you can't do a proper dab. We've established this.
There you go.
Oh, hold on.
Ready? You want the updated one?
Ready.
You want the updated one?
Yeah.
Isn't that how they do it? Who dabs?
That move that you just did is the middle-aged man at a club with his wife, and the wife is complaining, "Why don't you ever dance with me?" That's the move he busts out. That's the move you just did. What? I'm dancing.
There you go.
What? I'm having fun. Come on.
Let me have my drink first, all right? That's every middle-aged man at a wedding.
Yes. All right, get your shit. We're out of here.
All right, it's 1 o'clock. We gotta go. Go say your goodbyes. That's me, by the way. That all the weddings to Jess.
Go say your goodbyes.
Go now. Like 10:30. I'm like, go say your goodbyes because I want to get the hell out of here.
Well, because you know those goodbyes take like 45 minutes.
Oh my god, I know. It's never ending. You know what? You live in the same world that I do. Your wife's Greek. My wife's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Those freaking 45 goodbyes. 45 minutes to get out of a goddamn room.
So
I'm starting the car.
Oh, absolutely. If I that's very old school. So if I was if let's say I wanted to leave a thing at like 10:30, right?
Yeah.
9:45, I'd be like, listen, I'd point to my wrist as if I had a watch.
Yeah, yeah, me
and
too.
And I'd go, listen, I'd like to get out of here by 10. It's 9:45. Could you please start saying goodbye to people? Because every goodbye.
How angry do you get when it doesn't end?
I get, you know, honestly, like I
go in the car and I start bashing my head on the steering wheel, hoping the airbag explodes.
That's pretty bad. I'm not prone to like loud anger. I just start fidgeting, you know, or I'm like, yo, I already said goodbye. You know what my goodbye is? Goodbye.
I'll see you guys later. Sayonara.
That's it. Goodbye. I say goodbye and that's it. That encompasses everything. Goodbye.
A nice Irish exit.
It. Thank you. Goodbye. But, oh, you should do this. We got to do this. Oh, did you see that thing online? No, thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah.
No, thank you.
I get it.
Christmas short time, goodbyes, dude, guys.
I load up the car. I load up the car with all the gifts first at any time. I sneak away and I load up the gifts in the car and I tell her and I look at Jess. I'm like, Jess, listen to me. You got about 30 minutes. I'm going to turn into a fucking pumpkin. We got to get out of here.
But that's true. I mean, you have been cursed.
I have been cursed with turning into a pumpkin if I don't get home by midnight.
You can only be a human when you're podcasting. That's the curse. That's the curse.
Yeah,
that's why you see so much of Andrew. He's used to being human, so he has to have a lot of podcasts. All right. What do we got next?
AW Rampage lineup, John Moxley, Ethan Page, Young Bucks, Roppongi Vice back, our boys.
Popped hard.
Big fan of those two guys, friend of the show. Hook versus Serpentigo. Big pop for Hook.
Is Rampage just going to be like the Hook show from now on?
It could be the Hook show. Yeah, it should be. And TBS Championship, Jade Cargill, Anna Jay on Rampage. AEW Dynamite lineup for next week. TNT Championship ladder match. Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. Chris Jericho, Santana and Ortiz versus Daniel Garcia in 2.0. Lights Out, Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy, and Layla Hirsch and Red Velvet for next week.
Yeah, we saw that Layla Hirsch heel turn last night. What'd you think of it? Also, I didn't think she. I don't think I've ever heard her speak, and the Russian accent took me by surprise a little bit.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Maybe she should get bopped in the head.
Coming to the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Very excited for this.
This is the GCW updated card, which is pretty cool. If we can get comps, we'll definitely be there.
There is no comps to give.
Oh, boy.
There's GCW. No tickets to buy. Other than StubHub. You can buy some on StubHub, but very, very limited. This is a hot ticket in the city.
We slept on this because of the rise of the sickness numbers, the plague numbers.
I also have a planned weekend away with Jess.
Oh, that's right.
So I was trying to finagle it in between.
GC, babe, I gotta leave for about two, three hours.
Do me a favor. I know you're in this hotel that we're paying like $1,200 a night for. Do me a favor. Stay here. I'll be back by like midnight.
Babe, just keep the water running. Let me add to the tease. So we got.
By the way, before we go in the card, let me just say, fantastic job, Denise Salcedo, Hollywood Salcedo. She booked Brett Lauderdale, you know, owner, founder of GCW, head honcho over there. For Will Ipal, and we had a great conversation with him. If you want to check it out, go to check out Will Ipal on the F4W page. Interview is clipped also. You can watch the whole show, but you could also listen to the interview.
Very cool. I lost my place here. So we're going to go down the card real quick.
Yes.
While I go down the card, can you check on that that breaking news that Jonathan just sent the chat.
So Fightful has confirmed that Sami Zayn has signed with WWE. Observer Dave Meltzer had confirmed it a month ago, had reported it a month ago that he had signed sometime within the last month. And Fightful has now confirmed that Sami Zayn is staying with WWE.
Fantastic. I read that as resigned.
Oh, you read that as resigned. Resigned, resigned.
Spelled the same way, right?
Spelled the same way.
So you're getting a Dusty Thomas appearance at the GCW card. You're getting a B-Boy appearance. You're getting a Psycho Clown appearance. You're getting a Grab the Brass Ring ladder match. Lio Rush versus PCO versus Tony Deppen versus Alex Colon versus Jimmy Lloyd and Jordan Oliver. You're getting Bandito, Laredo Kid, and ASF versus Gringo Loco, Demonic Flamita, and Arez. You're getting Ruby Soho versus Ali Catch. Very cool.
Very cool.
ROH World Championship match, Jonathan Gresham versus Blake Christian. GCW Tag Team Championship, the Briscoes defend in an open challenge. This makes me think FTR showing up.
This makes me think FTR also. I'm just shocked you didn't do this for AEW.
Might be that lead-in. It might be that the Briscoes beat FTR, so you kind of, everybody wins kind of thing.
Maybe someone else challenges and FTR runs in, you know?
True. You know what would be a great challenge for this? Brody and Malakai.
Malakai, another great team, yeah.
Jeff Jarrett versus Effie.
The match of the night. I don't care what anybody says. I want to see Jeff Jarrett hit everybody with a guitar.
He's got 17. Imagine if he just comes out with 17 guitars. I'd love that. Like, they start throwing guitars into the ring, like ECW, yeah. like Terry Funk, Cactus Jack. Matt Cardona with Chelsea Green versus Joey Janela should be a good one.
Yep.
We've solved the mystery of where Joey Janela has been. And the GCW World Championship match, John Moxley versus Homicide. I feel like that's going to be a cool one.
Very New York match. Homicide is deeply engraved in New York. Wrestles for Catalyst Wrestling, by the way. You know, last Saturday, Catalyst Wrestling put on a show in Brooklyn. The first time in 60 years, the NWA champion was wrestling in New York.
Wow. That's wild, dude.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. You want to hit some questions?
Yeah, let's do Q&A, guys. Get your questions ready. We're going to do our best to answer them. Rich, what's the spiel? You're good at this.
The spiel is, guys, if you want to ask a question and you want it answered right away, you just can't wait, please just super chat us. You can send us any amount of money. We'll address your question ASAP. We got a lot of cool people in the audience today. Big crowd. So thank you for being here. Also, if you want to support us apart from that, you can check out patreon.com/mattmanpodcast. We're going to be updating it very soon with some cool stuff, some essays, some behind the scenes things, and our thoughts on the pro wrestling business. So we have a super chat here from Bob Hazelwood. They need an oversized sledgehammer gimmick to bonk people on the head to change their gimmick.
Not like aggressively. You're not bonking them to hurt him. You're just doing like a little boop.
Little bop bop.
Little bop bop.
Little bop bop. MG, I think we had a couple more super chats. Can you throw them in the queue, please, while we read this live? Let's see here. All right. This next one is from the Llama Whisperer.
Oh.
The last wrestler to bring an animal to the ring, if memory serves correct, was the Boogeyman's Worms. Would you want to see a wrestler bring out an animal in the 2020s?
That's not true. We saw it happen. Cody brought his husky with him, and the husky was very scared, and he never did it again. Remember that?
Yes,
on a paper, I think.
And Hangman came out on a horse.
Hangman did come out on a horse.
I think Hangman's come out on a horse a couple of times. Right?
I'm not a big fan of the animals being like part of the act. Like, I always felt bad for, like, the animal. Like that bulldog, you know? Like, you know, those guys are crazy.
Okay.
I just felt like, leave the animal at home.
Just leave him alone. What if it was, like, a big snake?
I want bats.
I think if Malakai, I don't think they can get away with bats, just for sanitary reasons.
He just goes, and all the bats come out?
Mm-hmm. This is from Joe. This is very interesting. Did you see Sting and Darby after the show on the road? Andrew, did you see this clip?
Yeah, pretty cool, right? They were fans were stuck in traffic, and they got out of the car, and they started chanting AEW at the fans.
Pretty cool. Let's see. This is from Balor Club Guy off of Twitter. What's up, guys? Have you heard any update on if Roman versus Brock will be title for title at WrestleMania? I just don't see Roman and Brock losing their titles at the Rumble.
I would do it, man. I would do it because at the end of the day, we've seen that match how many times, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to add another layer of intrigue, which I don't even know if that was going to be the match. I know that Drew was being positioned to be that guy on the SmackDown side, and now he's hurt. So if you are, if you want to up the ante, this is the moment. This is how you do it.
Yeah. All right. This is from Lenny Banner off of Twitch. WWE. AEW has self-mutilation on its show. Also WWE, here's Johnny Knoxville from Jackass in the Royal Rumble.
I mean, okay. Pretty funny.
He's made a living of getting hit and hitting dudes in the nuts.
I'm not a fan of it, man. I'm not a fan of that stuff.
Are you worried that people are just going to hit you in the nuts?
Constantly. Constantly. Mm.
Well, all you have to do to avoid that is turn back into a pumpkin.
I'm like, little do you know, I have none. I'm like a Ken doll.
Let's see right here. This is from Jonathan. This is a good one. Do you think WWE would do some 2010 stuff and bring Pete Davidson in for the Rumble because of the NBC connection?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'd love to see that.
Pete Davidson?
This is from Joel
Staten
Wood.
Island. I don't know. I can't do a Pete Davidson. I'm from Staten Island.
That's good. That's close to a Ray Romano.
My mom. That's my Ray Romano. My mom.
My buddy Alex does an amazing Ray Romano impression. This is from Joel Wood. Super chat, $4.99. Thank you, Joel. If you had to guess, does Johnny Gargano show up at AEW in Cleveland next week or the Royal Rumble next Saturday or neither?
I don't know. Anything is possible. I know that some people had said that he was going to take time off until after the baby. So, you know, the dude has worked hard. He could take some time off. No rush. You don't need to rush Johnny.
No rush from Johnny.
Yeah.
This next one is from EMC4K. Oh, I think that's gone. It was the same question.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, I think that one got removed. Yes. There we go. This is from Kayvon Beerum. $10. Thanks, Kayvon. Oh, actually, no, thanks, I'm sorry. Kayvon. That didn't get removed. EMC4K.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to that one. Yeah, odds of seeing Johnny Gargano show up in his hometown next week. Love the show, guys. Rich, you're the man, dog. I read that in the Sean Connery voice. Thank you.
You're the man now, dog.
Is that your Sean Connery?
You're the man now, dog. That's how he
says
it.
You're the man now, dog. Yeah.
It's possible. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. I would, like I said, I know that he had wanted to take some time off, but that was what was being speculated. So, if he shows up.
I think it would be cool if they showed him on camera, you know, and popped the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
This is from Kayvon Beerum. Super chat, $10. Thank you, Kayvon.
Nice. Thank you, Kayvon.
Do you guys think anyone on the next investors call will ask Vince or Nick Khan about the Gunter Stark debacle? And if so, how do you think they will address it?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know.
You don't think
I know that many people in the company had no idea about that trademark. Like many, 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 many people. And it's quite possible that the way that they found out was when, I guess, journalists started digging into the trademarks. So it says a lot, you know, there was, I think a lot of people had no clue.
All right, fair enough. Do you think they're going to corporate speak over it where somebody will ask him and they'll be like, oh, we've addressed the situation?
Yeah, I'm sure. They'll be like, yeah, we saw it. It was a coincidence and, you know, we corrected it.
This is from OK Johnny on YouTube. Can you guys guess or predict who will be number 30 in the men's Rumble?
Yeah, it's Rich.
Yep. Secret's out of the bag. I'm in the Rumble.
I got a question for you. All right. So, sure. Like, you got the phone call, right? And you're like, hey, listen, Rich, we're doing, like, we want to do this thing. You're number 30. What do you do today? What do you start doing today?
Push-ups.
You got to do a whole lot of them. And you got to be shirtless, and you got to wear the undies. No knee pads either. No knee pads, no elbows, just the black undies.
I'll do it. I don't care. If it works for the Beer City Brewers, it'll work for me.
How do you come out? What do you do? Like, what's your thing? Do you do like a big, like, what's your taunt?
Oh, I don't know, man. Well, one, I'm not famous, so nobody knows who the fuck.
No, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You go out there like you're famous. You think in your head you're famous. You walk out there.
Okay. Oh, boy. You know what? That's a good question. Maybe some kind of cartwheel. I don't do a half-ass cartwheel.
You do like a Randolph, and then you do like a, you know.
Maybe some kind of cartwheel. Maybe I'll replicate the Goldberg entrance. I don't know.
No, Bella Twins entrance.
Bell, you have to, and that number 29, Andrew Zarian.
Yeah, Andy Bella shows up.
Andy Bella, and then we do the, you know what, WWE, book us as the Bella Twins for the Men's Rumble. Podcasters, whatever that is.
Podcasters. Who's number 30? Who do you think is number 30?
Sean Rossap.
Sean Rossap is number 30. That's our pick. You know he's like 7 feet tall, so.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be... It's got to be somebody good, right? You have to have a good number 30. You know what? I'm going to throw a shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Returning Bray Wyatt.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's a good pick.
What about
throw you? Throw a Catan taunt.
I just show up with tabletop games under my
arms. Tabletop games, just throw it at them. Perfect.
And comic books. And I'm like, oh shit, what is this now?
This is where am I?
Let's see. What else we got here? Sting and Darby. Royal Rumble, got it. A lot of Royal Rumble questions. MG Geek's about to be future endeavored. This is another one from Bob on Twitter. If an asteroid weighing 306.4 metric tons, traveling at 17,212 kilometers per hour, were to hit catering 3 hours before the start of WrestleMania, would Cesaro finally get a push?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, boy. This is from Twitter also, the Kingsman. Do you guys think WWE is going to switch the world championships by having Seth beat Reigns at the Rumble, moving to Raw with the Universal title, Reigns beating Lesnar at WrestleMania to have the WWE title on SmackDown?
That's very possible.
I think so. I think the writing's on the wall for that. Do you think, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Title unification. Give me your odds on that.
My personal thought? I don't know if they'll unify it. I think they'll do double champion. I don't think they're going to unify titles, but if they were to do something, they would do double champion, and they'll say it's the first time we've had an undisputed WWE champion, as far as the Universal title goes. What did they call it when Brock held the world title and the WWE title? Was he unified? Did they unify it at that point, or was he just called the undisputed?
I think he was just the undisputed
world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess they would call him the undisputed champion, WWE champion.
That'd be cool. Let's see what we got here. Have you heard anything, Baz, from Twitter, from the Gundertaker? Have you heard anything about Ronda Rousey appearing at the Royal Rumble?
They would love Ronda as much as if they could have her. I don't know if she's ready. I don't know what her training has been. As far as like in ring, I know that she's training and like working out and stuff, but I think she's happy on her freaking farm. You know?
Yeah.
She's got the baby. She has the farm. But I know that they would love to do more with her. And I know she has said that she would do more. She just wouldn't be a full-timer. She would just come in for a program or something. She doesn't want to do house shows and stuff like that.
All right, fair enough. Do you think her farm is next to Brock Lesnar's farm?
They're all next to each other. Everybody's farm is next to each other.
This is from Orion off of YouTube. Do you guys see Paige coming back in the Rumble?
I don't think so, but I know that she's thought about it coming back. Mm. That's a good question for like next week. See if that question asks me that again next week. The answer is I don't think it's a yes, but as far as how she's doing and what she's planning on doing, like I'll ask what people have heard.
All right, this is from Joe off of YouTube. Are there no laws against ageism toward employers in the case of Scotty Tuhati saying the coaches were told to look younger?
I mean, he quit. He didn't get fired. They didn't fire someone because they looked old. In entertainment, it's kind of difficult. Ageism is a very different thing. You're in a young man's business. It's television. I think it's like an unwritten thing that you kind of understand that the younger guys take over. It is interesting. I told everybody to dye their freaking beards.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
God damn it! Go bizarre. Get a hair transplant.
Oh my God!
Call Spencer Coburn.
Wrestling is a bizarre business.
Wonderful book here. The Bald Truth by Spencer Coburn.
There you go. You're going to have to get Rob Lowe on that podcast. All right. You want to do one more question?
Let's do it.
This is a super chat. This is from EMC4K. How important is this weekend's GCW show mean for the future of the company? Big card, big names, big town. Is it time to strike while the iron is hot?
Yeah, definitely, dude. They've been on a really big roll. I just hope that there's no technical issues. This is pay-per-view. This is not a small ITV. I expect a lot of buzz around the show, especially online, and perception is key. Optics is key. You could have the best show in the world, but if there's any, the second there's technical audio problems, video problems, people start freaking out. I just hope that not saying that that's going to happen. They have a good production team. They have a really good production team. I'm just very, I'm excited to see what they're able to do with this, because this is a big deal. The Hammerstein, to anybody from New York, anybody, this is a really cool venue. I think I've expressed it multiple times that that's my favorite building to go watch anything in. It's not a bad seat in the Hammerstein. They have sold this, the most tickets sold for any wrestling show, I believe. They've sold like over the limit. Like not like fire hazard over limit, but they were able to open up seats and stuff that normally have never been opened up. I think this is a big deal, and a lot of people are going to be watching, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think they're on the up as long as they maintain this trajectory. You know, like this is a great alternative option for wrestling fans, and within the last 2 years, they've gained such good traction and good faith with people. I think, you know, like, there's going to be more inclusion with them, I think, going into the future, and more mentions of them too going into the future also, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's all very positive. Cool.
I also love Hammerstein Ballroom. I have a fond memory of getting drunk as a skunk there once watching AFI and Dillinger Escape Plan. This is many years ago. Yeah.
And again, great concert, right? That was a fantastic concert. I'm willing to bet. The venue's fantastic.
Such a great venue to see everything. Yeah. Better than Terminal 5.
Way better. All right, guys. That's it for this week. What are we doing? What's our schedule? So next week, we got a live show again. And then we will be doing a Royal Rumble watch-along next week, next Saturday. We'll do it on the F4W pages. We'll hang out. Rich will be in the studio. It'll be a lot of fun.
Whole lot of fun, guys.
Whole lot of fun. So join us for that. And we'll see you all next time, guys. Take care.
Later.